I know this may be a little surprising for some. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I am not making this Chiefs-Bills game the end-all, be-all game for the season for Buffalo like I think a lot of people are.
No one is. Get out. Why would anybody make that? Explain to me. You think people are making this the end-all, be-all game?
Yeah, I do. I mean, listen, it's not the playoffs, so it will never obviously mean as much. But I do think there are a lot of people who believe that if the Bills can't win this game in the regular season, or at least show they can put some resistance up against the Chiefs, it really means that the tables have turned to where it's just utter Chiefs domination. And I got to be honest, I already think it's utter Chiefs domination, because you're able to beat the team in the postseason in such memorable ways, in such, you know, heartbreaking ways on the Buffalo side. I don't know if a regular season win makes up for that. And I don't think it does. And there's another part of this, too, where I think it's just, I'm not saying it's not important, because if the Bills get blown out, that's going to be two bad losses to the two of the best teams in the NFL. They got blown out by the Baltimore Ravens, and if they get blown out by the Chiefs, you're going to start looking at the Bills' schedule and saying, who do they actually beat? And maybe this team isn't, you know, the gangbusters, you know, new and improved, different Josh Allen, MVP, whatever, that we thought. So you can't get blown out, but as far as, like, pulling this greater meaning, I can't do it just off of this regular season game. Does this sound like a cop-out for me as a Bills fan?
I think that all those narratives are wrong. But honestly, like, I think a lot of people are worried about the Chiefs, too. Like, who is this Chiefs team? I've heard a lot of that. I heard an analyst say, I don't think they're a top five team in the league.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, the Denver team that just beat them soundly. I know they lost the game, but they beat them to the ground in that game is not good. I just worry, like, I'm not sure how great either of these teams are. I'll be totally honest with you. And I agree, like, it doesn't, of course, the regular season result does not guarantee anything in the playoffs. I agree with you on that, but I think there's a lot of skepticism about the Chiefs, too. So even if the Bills win this game, I'm not sure what it means. Like, you don't notice that the Chiefs are struggling?
No, I get it, but to say that the Chiefs aren't a top five team is just not true. You can say the offense doesn't look the same, but the defense is only allowing 18 points per game on average. They're allowing only 80 rushing yards per game. That's one of the best in the NFL. Everyone's got this wrong about the Chiefs.
Ooh.
Don't mistake the fact that they just happen to be more of a second half team with the fact that they're a bad team.
Well, I mean, they went to overtime with the ghost of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers had basically G League receivers, and they took them to overtime. Then they kind of lost this game to Denver. I know they technically won. Like, who are the Chiefs? And the other question, too, is who are the Bills? I think this is much more of a, like, I think I disagree with, like, who are the Bills? We have no idea how good this team is because of that receiving core. We just really don't know how they match up against elite teams, because we've never seen a full season of Josh Allen without real weapons. So I think that both teams are way more up in the air. I don't see this as, at least this is my view, like, the 1-2 team in the AFC battling out. I think that's almost Baltimore and Pittsburgh is more of that.
No, I feel like, to me,
Baltimore is so far and away the most talented team in the AFC right now. I just don't know who either of these two teams are. If they beat the Chiefs right now, everyone's going to be like, eh.
Yeah, I don't think the Bills get the kind of bump that people think they will if they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Now, listen, you would have ended the streak. So, you know, you end the winning streak. If the Chiefs are really trying to put a lot of stock into going into the undefeated season, then, okay, I guess you take a little solace out of that. But just like the Bills getting blown out against the Ravens, I don't think would be top of mind for a lot of people if the Bills met the Ravens in the playoffs. I think everyone would believe it would be a whole new ball game. You had to throw out what happened earlier in the season and just treat this game on its own. And I think that's almost the amount of respect I think the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs deserve at this time, which is the regular season really is, I don't want to say the formality, because I love going with the ups and downs of game by game and it's fun, but don't they earn a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that you're not going to take anything massive from a regular season matchup? It's really all about what happens in January.
Right, but doesn't every casual and non-casual football fan just assume the Chiefs are going to beat the Bills in the second round of the playoffs like they do every year?
Well,
like,
how about
are we even talking about here?
How about in this game, too? Let's just take it to this game. Patrick Mahomes as an underdog, 11-3, straight up. I mean, this dude doesn't lose as an underdog, so I don't know why people would think it'd be any different now. I get it.
Yeah.
You don't think that they have a maybe this awesome team. Well, I mean, you want to nitpick everybody. The Ravens don't have a great defense right now. We still consider them one of the great teams.
So bizarre, because the Ravens always have a good... And honestly, it's so funny. You said, I do think that Ravens win over the Bills meant something, in the sense that, like, I'd be shocked if the Bills could knock off the Ravens in the playoffs. I feel like, how are they possibly going to stop Lamar and Derrick Henry in the playoffs? I don't... Maybe I don't view your Bills like... I like the Bills. They're a good team. I'm not scared of them as a Super Bowl contender. If you're, let me ask you this question. Regardless of what happens this week, if you're a Chiefs fan, or you're a Ravens fan, or maybe even a Steelers fan, are you terrified of this Bills team?
I think the Bills would beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
I think the Bills would beat the Steelers.
What if you're a Ravens or Chiefs? Like, even if this game, like, what are we talking? I totally agree with everything you're saying about, like, the full meaning of this game. But really, where are we with the Bills? Or, like, and you follow them as close as anyone.
Yep.
Are they, is this possibly the breakthrough year? Like, because I don't see it. But it's like, does this team seem better than the team that lost in the 13-second game, or the team that lost last year?
I'll give you two things.
Yeah.
Last year, I think people didn't understand that the Bills had backed themselves so much into a corner because of some stupid losses from earlier in the season that they were zero margin for error for the last five games of the year. And while people said, oh, that's right, great, it's this grid and you're winning these games, I think it totally wore them out. And if they hadn't lost to Kansas City, they may have lost to Baltimore in the next round. This team is looser. Without a doubt. It does not feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders for everyone except for the head coach. I still do not trust Sean McDermott in a big game. And until he proves me otherwise, I can't trust him in a big game. Do I think he could beat the Steelers? I do think the Bills could beat the Steelers. When it comes to the Ravens and when it comes to Kansas City, I feel less confident.
Feels to me like they're...
And by the way, Cincinnati, who came into Buffalo and crushed them in the playoffs.
Feels like we're back to the Josh Allen Superman thing too. Like, if we push comes to shove in the playoffs, you're going to need Josh Allen's legs. And we keep seeing again and again in playoffs running quarterbacks hit a wall. Like, if you say Pittsburgh, like, Pittsburgh could control Josh Allen in the playoffs. I just think that I haven't seen, like, the sort of full-on attack from this Buffalo team. Like, I'm a little worried that they just don't have enough weapons to do it all this year.
I'm not actually worried about that. It's not the weapons. It's the continuing to incorporate the run game and not abandon it. And by the way, we may see a little bit of that in this game, because as good as Kansas City has been against the run, they have actually been middle of the pack against the pass. They're 14th right now, their defense is, in passing yards allowed. They only have five interceptions in the entire season. The Chiefs secondary, they are not this big takeaway team. And so they're going to test Allen. I hope they don't, like, you know, go so one-sided, and they have to be able to continue to find a way to keep the run game going.
Right, but I think that question, are the Bills in any way a scary passing team? Like, I don't think they're a top 10 passing team, but are even close. Like, their offense is pretty anemic this year, right? They do try and control the ball, but if they needed to be explosive, could they?
It's not the same explosive plays with Diggs that you used to have with Stephon Diggs, but that's a conscious choice by this team to get Diggs out of town in favor of an offense that spreads the ball out a little bit more. No Keon Coleman in this game. Looks like Amari Cooper is going to play, so we'll see about that. The possession slot receiver, Khalil Shakir, is extremely important, and no Dalton Kincaid in this game. Not that a tight end's ever going to be an explosive, but Kelsey, I guess.
You say a conscious choice. It makes it sound like you have no other choice. Like, what's their other option?
Well, I think they believe that, you know, I think they believe that Cooper could help with some explosive, that Keon Coleman's going to be one of those 50-50 guys. They don't have the speed that they did with Diggs. They decided not to be a team like that, because I think they're realizing cold weather team, you know, you're just, the juice is not worth the squeeze
for how much
you were paying Diggs.
So you're finally going to that sort of defense cold weather model. When I was in high school, I made a conscious choice to focus on my studies instead of hanging out with my girlfriend. Because I didn't have...
She didn't exist.
Because you don't have a choice here. Like, you just really, you did not invest a lot in wide receiver. And I don't know what it is. The last couple of years, maybe I'm wrong, I am so dubious about Amari Cooper. Like, I just cannot trust that guy. I saw him drop everything in Cleveland. I saw him finally caught a touchdown in Buffalo. That was shaky as all get out.
Yep.
Caught it, dropped it, caught it again.
Then he got hurt.
I'm not sure. I mean, then again, he could be great. Keon Coleman, the 50-50 guy, like, 50-50 on any given play, what that guy's going to do. He looks great.
He's a rookie.
I know. I'm just saying, in Khalil Shakir, I'm a little worried about the Bills' weapons. But to your credit, you always said like they should run the ball more. They're very effective running this year. You know, James Cook's numbers are great. His analytics are great. I just worry that at the end of the day, they're going to need a little more from this offense. And is it going to be there? Tonight, they might not. The Chiefs are really playing conservative football.
I think the reason why we tend to skew more talking about the Bills when we come to this matchup is not just because, you know, my, you know, support of the team and growing up in upstate New York and all that.
Obsession?
Just, some may call it that, Manny. It's because this feels like it's not going to stick to the Chiefs at all.
Yeah,
I think I'm one of the last people who thinks they can go to the undefeated season. So I'm on a total island on that. And they've got such a lead in the AFC West. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, even if we were talking about the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, what did the Chiefs just do last year? When did they Buffalo
care.
And won? When did Baltimore and won? It just doesn't matter.
That's so funny. They don't care about the regular season at all. They're just using it as a warm-up. I don't even know what plays they're going to run in the playoffs because right now they're not really doing much of anything. That's a great question. So they're plus 400 to win the Super Bowl right now. They lose to the Bills. Does that change at all?
No.
I agree. I don't think the odds change at all. The Bills, meanwhile, are fifth, which for the Bills is like the lowest they've ever been because they're usually two.
You know, in some ways, I talked about how the team feels like they're playing just a little bit looser. I know Allen threw two picks last week, but trust me when I say it doesn't feel like they are playing with the weight of the world on their shoulders. Maybe it's the season you never see coming with Buffalo.
Yeah, a
maybe
little
that's
less pressure.
The way it's going to have to be. I actually was telling you guys last night, I know this is a big cop out as a sports fan, but I think it has to be one of those seasons like the Yankees just had where you get the NFL's version of like the Guardians and the Royals on the way to the Super Bowl. I know the Yankees didn't win, so it's a bad analogy. But maybe you don't have to go through the Chiefs and the Ravens.
But how I'm not sure it's going to work out that way.
It's going to be impossible.
I'm
this
not
is
sure.
Where I'm at, guys. I'm like, yeah, finally.
I mean, honestly.
That was Tyler Bass hitting a field goal, by the way. That wasn't even anything big.
You know, the Ravens are creeping up, and I've been saying this all along, like, they should be the favorite. They're moving up fast.
Who trusts the Ravens, though?
I just think that they're on a revenge tour. And I know they've been losing some
games. But their defense is not good.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter. They've had great defenses going into the playoffs and not done anything. Just feels like if Lamar is healthy and Henry is healthy, and now that they have these receiving weapons, they are now kind of building up a playoff team, which they have not done in the past. And again, like, Lamar is Jokic. You know, you win two MVPs and you can't get over the hump. Eventually, you get over the hump. It's just guys get older. They get more mature. They get more ready for the big moment. I feel like he's going to that point. Maybe Josh Allen is too. But, like, these quarterbacks are turning 27, 28, 29. He's going to break through.
Finally! I think that one other thing that's really changed about the Ravens, we mentioned that the defense has just not been kind of that standard that you associate with the Ravens of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and guys like that. But I think their red zone offense, like when the Ravens get into the red zone, they are scoring.
Yeah.
That was not always the way it was. And Derrick Henry has really helped that out.
Yeah.
Has 14 touchdowns.
You know, the defense has stars, too. They have, if Kyle Hamilton, I guess, is not a long-term injury, he's amazing. And we find some Madubuike start to play like himself, their defensive end. Like, there are, and Marlon Humphrey, like, it's not like their defense should be terrible. I don't know why it's been so bad against the pass. I think that can be fixed. Now, I guess they don't like this new defensive coordinator, Zach Orr, but that's my pick. If I could get a mulligan, I would go with the Ravens. And I'm not even going to. You do issue a good warning. Do not change your pick based on Bills Kansas City. I would listen to Maggie Gray on that one.
That's just my take on the thing. EJ, do you think I'm being delusional here saying that this game doesn't matter?
Absolutely delusional, Maggie. This game 100% matters. And look, I think it's the world is not fair. So, yes, if the Bills win, does that mean they're going to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? We have no idea.
No, instead, they're going to lose in a way that, you know, becomes like a nickname.
Yes.
It's not just losing in obscurity. It's got to have a nickname attached to it, like a shorthand.
Exactly.
If the Bills win, everyone says, well, there's no way they're beating the Chiefs twice, so you might as well tank right now.
And that's reality. But unfortunately, if they lose, it's Panic City. Because this is kind of a new team, right? This is not, you mentioned like Diggs was a big part of their identity, and now this is a different defense.
Yep.
This picture of the Chiefs versus Bills is different than it was in the past. So if you guys go out there and you guys get smoked by 14 points, it becomes, oh no, even though we made all these changes, they're still way better than us. And I think they take that psychological advantage into the playoffs. It's one of those things where you just can't lose. I hate to say that, but if you lose, the problem. If you win, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
EJ, you're crazy.
Who are the Chiefs beating by 14 points, though?
Yeah, dude, there's not a single team in the NFL, including the Panthers, who they play next week, that they're going to beat by 14 points.
The Chiefs are a weird team where they get up for these kind of games.
No, they don't. They win these games by three.
Well, I'm talking about this season. I'm saying
first of all, and
their
also
history.
I'll take what Maggie's saying. If the Bills win this game, that's a drastic mistake because we've seen this. It's hard to beat a team twice. It's really hard. NFL history proves that. Like, they don't win this game and be overconfident.
Listen,
you think you can go in that locker room and say, "Don't worry, guys, we lost by 10, but we'll get them in the playoffs." You think that's gonna? I think that's a way worse, harder message to sell.
They're not gonna lose by 10. They're gonna lose by some fluke play. That's how Buffalo.
And that's gonna be terrible.
That's how Buffalo does.
I'll tell you
what.
You know what's gonna happen if they do lose by 14? We're talking about the Bills and Chiefs now. So they'd be going into their bye on the other side of the bye, San Francisco at Detroit. Okay, so you got this. This is the beginning of the real juggernaut part of the season for the Bills. If you get blown out by the Chiefs in a year where the Chiefs offense is not blowing anybody out, then you are really talking about Sean McDermott being out. Because at that point, what are you doing?
No,
you
know? Sorry, Mac.
I'm he's
not
done, he's done a good job with the defense.
Not happening. Sean McDermott is going to outlive you.
I'm just thinking, we've seen the Bills earlier this season. We've seen the story of the Bills. They beat up on some terrible teams to start the season. And their first little stretch of tough games, what happened? They got smoked by the Ravens, and then they lost to the Texans, and Josh Allen was like 9 for 100. Like,
definitely got concussed in that game, too.
You got hurt, potentially. Like, we've seen the Bills season where they go up against these bad teams, and it's, all right, here we go. The big boys come to play, and what happens? I'm a little concerned for the Bills that we're going to see that again, especially because you know Mahomes is looking at that line being like, are you serious? I'm an underdog against these clowns that I've beaten like 100 times in a row? Okay, watch this.
I hate when they make Mahomes an underdog. Darn you, Vegas. Like, why?
I think if the Chiefs were the favorites, I'd feel better about the Bills. I think the Chiefs are like, they're like the Bulls of the 90s. They're like Jordan. They take stuff personally.
I know. Well, because like, you need to find the motivation when you've done this much winning. Right?
Exactly.
I'm a little more worried about the Chiefs than you guys. Like, I'd be shocked if they came out.
If you don't take the Chiefs and the points, you're crazy.
Yeah, they'll win the game. But, I mean, if you think they're going to be explosive, win by 10, like, how? How many little shuttle passes of Travis Kelce for 4 yards can one team run? Like, there's
Bills
nothing.
Bills can't stop it.
There's nothing going on there on their offense.
You know what's going to happen? Yeah. And I'm not betting this game because I've got the personal aspect of it that I don't want to bet on it. But whoever doesn't do the Xavier Worthy anytime touchdown, you're out of your gourd.
You jabroni!
If you watch him try to throw to Xavier Worthy, it's not good.
Well, get him matched up with a couple
maybe,
of the Bills.
Maybe the Chiefs. I don't know. Chiefs are definitely holding all their plays for the playoffs. They are not running. They're running a vanilla offense. They're not trying anything. Once in a while, they do a little trick play. But I'm telling you, the Chiefs are playing possum. Did you watch that Broncos game? It was handoff, handoff, shuttle pass. Handoff, handoff, screen pass. There was nothing happening.
Andy Reid can't help himself with this. I think he's going to throw them a little bit of a bone here and do the Xavier Worthy touchdown. They know.
I'll bet you I'd be shocked if the Chiefs get to 24 points. I will be very surprised tonight. I mean, not tonight, Sunday afternoon.
I was going to say, I need a little more time. No, I mean, listen, it could be a low-scoring game. I'm not saying that. I don't know if it's going to be a two-touchdown game.
And Maggie, you know that community. If you guys lose 10 points, 1 point, you know what the conversation is going to be.
Can't beat them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they've beaten them in the regular season how many times?
3.
And what has that resulted in?
Nothing.
So what difference does it make if they beat them?
Again, this is the lose-lose situation here for Buffalo.
Exactly. Yeah, you win, then you're doomed. If you lose, you're doomed.
Listen, it has nothing. This is why they just have to beat them in the playoffs, and everyone knows that. It's so simple to say. But the same, it reminds me a lot of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. You know, and Peyton Manning finally had to beat Tom Brady in the playoffs. It didn't matter anymore in the regular season. And that's what's going to have to happen with Josh.
Great analogy.
Thank you. 855-212-4227. Okay. You guys want to weigh in on the Chiefs and the Bills? Is this a no-win situation for Buffalo? Could be. Mike Tyson speaking into a microphone to a kid reporter. What could go wrong You're going to hear it next. M&P. Welcome back. Tonight, the fight no one really asked for, but is happening anyway. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul from Jerry World in Dallas. So, of course, the weigh-ins were happening and the press conferences were happening. Yesterday was the weigh-in. You may have seen it. Mike Tyson slapped Jake Paul in the face. Predictable. Scuffle, all that stuff to try to ramp up viewership for the fight. You know how they do. But I don't know who in their right mind thought it was a good idea to have Mike Tyson, do a one-on-one interview with a kid reporter. You know how they do this sometimes? The kid reporter at the Super Bowl, they're so cute. They ask these questions, and then the players pearl off, give like these really fun answers. And
yeah, you love just, a like, kid get reporter.
A heartwarming moment.
Always works. It's 100 for 100 kid reporters.
Not anymore. Here is Mike Tyson being asked by, I believe she's 13, a 13-year-old little girl about his legacy. Mike, just take the layup. Instead, he goes full Tyson.
After such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that?
There's more.
I'm kind of down with that philosophy.
Let's hear more on Mike Tyson expanding on why his legacy doesn't matter once you're dead.
With a big ego, so I'm gonna die. I want people to think that I'm this, I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before. Someone saying that as an answer.
Good job.
Thanks for ruining my future.
Who's the adult here? Is it the fully grown 50-something man, or is it the 13-year-old girl who just kick-saved in a beauty that thing? Hire her. Here's Mike Tyson. Again, the kid reporter. He's doing this interview with her more about this legacy stuff.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I get dead? Why do you want somebody, do you think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me?
No, that wasn't with the kid reporter, was it?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
She's a child. Just say, I want to leave something my kids can be proud of and move on.
Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
No.
Tell me how much you love Skittles. She's 13.
What are you doing, Mike? And who are the people around this that allowed this to happen?
See, I like this trend. I think they should have the Nickelodeon kids game, and they should have Chris Nowinski come on and explain the long-term effects of concussions. Like, they should, every kid's thing should be real. It's about time that she learned some straight Buddhist philosophy on the meaningless of life. You want to just go through, wander her teenage years and thinking that we mean anything? No, Tyson's right. Life is but a brief candle.
Say that.
No.
Say it's a brief candle. Don't drop an F-bomb with the kid reporter.
No, my favorite thing about this is Young Jazzy's second interview with Mike Tyson.
Oh, my goodness.
She's already did another one.
Oh, is that Young Jazzy?
Yeah, it's Young Jazzy.
She's so good.
Wait, what was her? How did she come about? I remember I've heard of her before.
She does all these interviews with celebrities, and honestly, I'm not surprised they gave her Tyson one because she already interviewed him. But also, like, she's done, like, Nicki Minaj. Like, she's done some kind of, like, weird characters, off characters you think maybe would give her something. But usually even those folks give her something of encouragement.
Yes, Nicki Minaj.
Not Mike Tyson, though.
Would look like Princess Diana compared to Mike Tyson in terms of decorum.
But really, the cursing, I know the cursing was the headline, but the cursing is not the worst part of this. It's a singular word that I'm sure she's heard already. It's the complete destruction of all hope and prayer. Yeah. And like, who cares? We're going to die soon.
No. I know that language. I have a friend who's a Buddhist. That was straight out, like, Tyson is fully done a life change. Like, I know some middle-aged guys like me and Mike Tyson, like, that they, like, this is a... that life is just a construct of the ego and we don't really exist. He's basically figuring out how he's going to face it, imminent death.
Yeah. When you're 13, that's not really what you're thinking
about.
You're
on a different timeline. But as you get older,
still have hope.
As you get older, you have to wrap your brain around the fact that you're going to die. And I think Tyson was working it out right there in real time. You're right. It is an odd choice have to do it then
for an epiphany there.
Yeah, but I was like, young, wow, this Jazzy is middle-aged Jazzy, then maybe they can sit down and have a conversation about being dust in the wind.
Yeah,
but maybe saying, not today.
You're saying that's not the time to face the void when young Jazzy's on the interview. But I think that's a really interesting. I mean, we could talk about what Tyson said, but you're right. It is an odd choice. Maybe if he's sitting down with, I don't know, who's like a big interviewer, like 60
Jim
Minutes?
Gray or something, maybe.
60 Minutes, that would have been appropriate?
Anybody else but the kid reporter. And again, she looks like the adult because she gives him like a, wow, that's, I had not thought about it that way or whatever. You know, she says this very, you know, like nice, even response when he is just out of his mind. But again, it's Tyson's. I don't even, it's almost like you can't blame Tyson. This is where I think Chris Rock used to have that funny stand-up about the Tigers in the that Vegas show. One of the Tigers.
Siegfried and Roy.
One of the Tigers attacked the guy. And they said, oh, how could the Tiger do that? He goes, the Tiger went Tiger. Mike Tyson is just being Mike Tyson. He can't be any other way. And so I don't know if I blame Tyson more, if I blame the people around Tyson for saying that he should do this interview with a 13-year-old girl?
That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
I like Bogus. I like your line. Just say I like Skittles.
Moving on. What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
What do you think about Sabrina Carpenter and whatever is Barry's last name is?
You know the funny part? I bet if, I don't
the
know.
The whole thing's hilarious. I think you're taking this way too seriously.
No, I am, but she is being the adult in the room. Get used to it, girl, because it's only going to happen more as you go through this industry. But here's the other part. I just wonder, did she also interview Jake Paul? Because I bet he gave her probably a very 13 appropriate answer. I would think.
I mean, I don't know. Jake Paul a lot of credit, to be honest.
Yeah, I was about to say,
did he finish a sentence?
I mean, he was a Disney star, wasn't he? Was he a Disney guy?
No, Jake Paul was a Disney guy?
No, he was actually. Was he as a kid?
Yeah, he gets it. He's an actor.
Oh, that's
he got excommunicated because, you know, he's Jake Paul.
Sure.
But yes.
What did he do on Disney?
I don't remember. He was on one of those little shows.
I want to see that Nicki Minaj interview. I'm actually a huge Nicki Minaj fan. I would love to see. She's a big force at our house. We play all of them with beeps going on during her song and that.
Was it just a long censor for like 5 minutes?
No, it's like a good beat. Then beep 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 beep.
I'd love to watch McLovin sing some super bass by Nicki Minaj.
My kids, my daughter knows every lyric of every Nicki Minaj song, including the curse words.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Does she know what they mean?
She should interview Mike Tyson.
by the way, you say like 13-year-old, like trust me, 13-year-old kids in America now know what everything means.
I'm sure.
And they know more than we do.
But are we really bringing up like future mortality with them?
Probably, yeah. They're way smarter than we are. Oh. That generation is crazy smart.
Well, she definitely, young Jazzy definitely seemed very mature. She handled that chef's kiss.
That is something that I have not heard before someone say that as an answer.
She cried herself to sleep last night. Why am I doing this? It was for legacy, and there's no legacy.
I do actually.
What's her legacy now?
Can we talk about one thing?
It should be good. She's hireable.
I think Mike Tyson had a kind of a good point that once you die, you don't experience any of what people think about you. Why do people care so much about like their legacy? It's a great point. I actually wondered about that. I've always been along the lines like once I'm gone, I don't care what you say about me.
You don't want to be like at your wake or your funeral.
I do.
Hear people talking about you.
So Dan Patrick always used to say he wanted to have his funeral before he died so he could hear that. But after you die, it does you no good.
But
Dan used to say that?
Yeah, like Huck Finn style.
But the problem is you're not getting the honesty, and if they know what they're there for, you need people to really, like, he's dead. We can say whatever we want about
him. No, but people, even after they die, people say nice things at a funeral.
Yeah, but not like when they're sitting in the row, like just talking to the person next to them, or like a conversation at work, like that guy was actually a schmuck. Like,
Like, would you guys, is anybody here ever fantasize about having a living funeral? Because you want to hear people say nice things about you.
No, but I have thought about being like a ghost at my wake in my funeral to like wander around and see people are saying or who shows up.
I feel like I'm young Jazzy. What have I done to deserve this conversation this morning?
I've not
thought about that. I do not want that.
You don't think about death?
No, I do, but I don't think about being a present at my own funeral. No, I don't think about that.
Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
Nothing.
But here's the other thing. Maybe for Mike Tyson, the legacy, to be honest, not all roses and sunshine. So, you know, I bet he probably is maybe worried about what people might say about him after he's gone, because it's not exactly been the primrose path for Tyson. And he'd be the first one to say that.
Yeah, it could be him coping with his life and being like, well, it's not really going to matter, so I shouldn't dwell on it. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, he was actually spouting like really basic Buddhist principles right there.
I think he is a Buddhist, right?
Yeah. So it's just an odd time to do it. By the way, he could have said that. He didn't even smile. He looked very, very grim.
Again, to the 13-year-old kid reporter,
the interview happened too close to the fight. If she would have got this interview maybe 3 weeks ago, I think he would have been a lot more chill. Because he's been as his fights. We keep thinking it's a joke. I take everything Mike Tyson does seriously.
But wait, wasn't Mike
Tyson
just for our
own safety?
Am I missing something here? And we're going to interview someone later about it. Wasn't he like a jolly, feel-good fellow like 4 years ago? What happened to that guy?
I think he's back into the warrior mindset.
Yeah,
he has a fight happening.
He fought Roy Jones in 2020, and none of that. I don't remember any of this.
It was an exhibition, though. This is actually going on his record. I don't know.
Oh, my God. And this is not an exhibition? He's fighting Jake Paul.
No, but it is sanctioned.
Stop with the sanction. Who cares? It's an absolute joke.
You're like a promoter. You have some money behind this event?
Okay, Mike Tyson might not care about his legacy, but I do.
He's 59 years old. Who cares? I don't care who sanctioned it. This is an exhibition. Whoa.
No, it is.
Is it sanctioned by Japan?
You just shrugged. It's like, well, I guess you might say it's an exhibition. It's not even an exhibition. This doesn't even raise to the level of exhibition. It's a farce of a joke of a disaster. Can't wait to watch it.
I got a second Netflix subscription for this one alone.
It is sanctioned.
Just in case something happens to the first one. Yeah. Poll question, do you want to be at your own funeral?
The people who have followed him keep saying that his mood has changed over the week. And people think it's a work. Everything that Mike Tyson does, I take at face value. And so I'm told otherwise.
Well, the other part, too, is this is very different in terms of how they need to sell the fight, I think, because the money would be guaranteed. Well, the money's usually guaranteed, the purses, but it's not a pay-per-view.
Right.
It's Netflix. So it's a different kind of business model here with how much, like, he slapped Jake Paul in the face yesterday at the weigh-in. Generally, when people fight at the weigh-in, it's a last-ditch effort to try to drum up more business for the fight.
I do think everyone has getting a lot of money out of this fight, so they do have to have a lot of downloads and stuff. They measure it.
Yeah.
I have a question. How did he lose all that weight? Did he go to Ozempic?
No, I told you. He had a bleeding ulcer.
Was it just the sickness that caused the weight loss?
He lost 25 pounds.
Oh, okay. I wondered if there was some drug help with that. But I guess the sickness, the bleeding ulcer, yeah. I mean, he hasn't looked this good since 1993.
Yeah. I mean, but again, he's...
Sorry, he's 58. I said 59. And it is sanctioned.
Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
I mean, do you have to curse in front of the 13-year-old?
Maggie, wait till your son's 13. The F word will be the least of your concerns.
You're probably right about that. Folks, can you hang around for the next segment? Or do you want to do this now? We've got 1 minute. Hang out with us for a second.
Fine.
I know you find Perloff, you know.
We have a hockey call on the line, too, that you can probably answer because you're a hockey expert.
Thank you.
All right, so stick around for two reasons. Everyone, don't move. Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. We got so sidetracked with an interview that Mike Tyson gave to a 13-year-old kid reporter where he dropped F-bombs and started talking about death and his own mortality and how we're all just dust in the wind. We got caught up in that riveting conversation that we couldn't get to headlines with Andrew Bogish. Bogues, what's going on today?
These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MANDP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. The win streak is now 6, but it did not look promising basically for 3 quarters last night in Philly, but then Saquon Barkley happened.
Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye! Hello. Another one!
Hello! Hello!
He's 40 yards.
He's unbelievable.
That's Eagles radio, and that was Barkley's second TD run of the fourth quarter. The Eagle D mixing in a fourth down stop and a pick to fuel the 20-point quarter and the 26-18 win. Barkley finishing with 146 yards on the ground, another 52 receiving, and those 2 scores.
Are you going to mention
a lot of rushing yards, gaining a lot of respect?
Shut up, Saquon. I'm sorry, what?
Are you going to mention all the officiating crimes from last night and some of the missteps that Manny Rodriguez had on the Twitter last night about the Eagles getting screwed on a face mask call?
I wasn't, but you just did. So, Manny, your response?
Oh, boo-hoo. You guys won the football game. Cry me a river.
There was 2 terrible calls that kept this game close.
Yep.
And even when Terry McCauley, the officiating expert, comes on and says that officials are wrong, they're really wrong. So I just want to factor that into the game. There was a face mask that they threw a flag for and picked up for no reason. He got his hand up in the hole between the helmet and his neck. It's a penalty. And there was a bad PI call.
What did Manny say about it?
The PI call I thought was fine.
Manny, what did Manny tweet about it?
Manny had anti-Eagles tweets going all night long.
Well, of course he does. He's a Giants fan.
He said, I do not believe this is a face mask, declaratively. I attacked him.
Well done, Farrell.
And yeah, his attack went without a, it felt like a fly just kind of grazed upon me.
Wow.
Yeah. Manny, you are so funny. Like, you generally are, your brain is a running commentary on Twitter. You're like, man, this guy stinks.
Twitter's
this guy
my
sucks.
Personal diary. That's essentially
you're
what
so
it is.
Negative, though, and you're so nice in person, but you're so negative on social media.
Who's the real Manny? Is it the social media Manny or is it in-person Manny?
I am a different person when I watch sports.
Although you did tell me this morning that I was too happy, and you did also say, I hate the Eagles, I hate Saquon Barkley, I hate Philadelphia as well.
Well, that's
rapid fire.
Is there a question in there?
No, just... You're off Twitter, you're also negative at times.
Yeah. Manny, did you hear?
Just towards Philadelphia, the armpit of the United States.
Manny, did you hear when the Thank You Giants chant broke out at the Link last night?
I mean, how miserable can you people be living?
People.
Like, why is the 2-7 whatever the Giants are? Why are we living in your heads? You guys just beat the Commanders.
Right, because Saquon Barkley used to be a Giant, and he had a really big game last night.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Philadelphia. You're paying $10 million for a running back.
That leads the league in rushing, and is why they won their 6th consecutive game last night.
The goalposts always move, man. Oh, the Giants, they let go of Saquon Barkley. Those fools. But it's okay for the Eagles to pay an absurd amount of money. Like, it's essentially what the Giants were trying to avoid. I don't care if he... And plus, Tyrone Tracy, he's fine.
Okay,
he's fine.
Enough
he's no
Giants
Saquon.
Talk.
He's no Saquon, but he's fine. For
enough
whatever
Giants
he's
talk.
Making, $9 million less than Saquon, he's fine.
He literally fumbled away their last game.
Good. I thought you wanted the draft
under
pick.
What umbrella of fine does that fall?
Listen, those fantasy points that he's been getting me didn't work out last week against Gell, but those fantasy points that I've been getting out of Tyrone Tracy, fine.
We didn't get to that point, though.
This is your fault.
Yeah,
you're the one who opened the door.
But can I ask a real question? This is about the entire league. We did see this last night, and it's sort of creeping in. It's a huge football weekend. We're going to have Taylor Swift at a game, Bills, Chiefs. We're going to have Steelers, Ravens. We're going to have Chargers against the Bengals. Is officiating, like, are we in a real problem here? That came up a lot last night on my social media feed. Like, oh, crap. They are screwing up left to right. They're inserting flags. Replay assist is not helping.
Are we just noticing this now?
I don't know. I worry because this is a big NFL weekend coming up that we're going to come in Monday and we're going to be talking about officiating. That was a terrible call last night.
We've been talking about officiating for the past half decade, haven't we?
More, yeah. Manny. It's just history started before the year 2000.
No, I feel like
we just didn't even have replay back then. It was really frustrating.
A lot of experts think this year is like a real problem.
We have to. Well, Manny can read about it in a history book sometime. But what the world was like
before
read replay?
Ask a grandpa what it was like.
I'm sorry, we'll get a podcast for you to listen. Nobody reads anymore.
Thank you.
What else, Bogue?
Reading. So the final score was 26-18. The Eagles have won 6 in a row. The Commanders have dropped 2 straight. There's now a game and a half between them. Atop the NFC East. There was one NBA game last night. The Jazz won it, 115-113 over the Mavericks. John Collins dunking in the deciding points with 6 seconds left. U.S. men's soccer, a 1-0 win in Jamaica in the first leg of their Nations League quarterfinal. They'll play Monday night in St. Louis to finish that one off. The Winnipeg Jets, 7-game win streak, ending in Tampa 4-1. The Islanders were 5-2 winners in Vancouver, and Connor McDavid scored for his 1,000th career point in the Oilers' 3-2 OT win over Nashville. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank you so much. Sean is in Oregon, wants to get back to the bizarre interview, as if there's any other kind, that Mike Tyson gave to a 13-year-old kid reporter where he starts talking about legacy is meaningless. It's all about ego. We're all going to be dead someday, so it doesn't matter. Again, to a 13-year-old kid reporter. What's up, Sean?
Hey, when you're 13, little girl, usually they're going on 30. So, I mean, it wasn't like she was a little girl going to sit on Santa Claus' lap or anything like that. And she definitely wasn't interviewing Santa Claus. And this is just Mike Tyson.
So it's her fault.
Being Mike Tyson. You know, he's brutally honest. He's a down-to-earth guy. And I've always appreciated his interviews. I just looked yesterday on his compilation of interviews on YouTube. And it just puts a smile on somebody's face. And you kind of feel sorry for him sometimes because he goes a little off kilter. But I just appreciate it. And he's like no other athlete I've ever heard be interviewed. I think back to anybody I've ever heard be interviewed. And Mike Tyson,
yeah,
that's part of his legacy, his interviews and his honesty.
He would say that legacy means nothing. He doesn't care about it. But yeah, Sean, listen, yeah, Tyson is a wild card, both in interviews, in his life, all of that. And I don't know who to blame more for it, this coming out this way. Maybe no blame needs to exist, but Tyson for not understanding as an adult that's not an appropriate response to give to a 13-year-old. You might say 13 going on 30, but she's a kid.
Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
And I would say the other part about, yeah, Tyson has moments of honesty. He did the one-man show on Broadway, which people loved, and I get that. But he's also said some wildly inappropriate things in press conferences, more than just, oh, selling a fight. It's been borderline disgusting. But again, I think there is always a little bit of a soft spot for Tyson with people because if you know anything about him, you probably know about his upbringing. You probably know what a horrible life he's had and, you know, all the challenges he's been through. I don't know.
He's an advocate. I mean, somewhat of an advocate for, like, mental health, right? I mean, he's someone who has mental health challenges.
That's clearly.
Yeah, and he's open about that. So I think when we see these interviews, most will have the understanding that some of that is influencing this stuff too.
I get it, and I know it's really close to the fight. I guess maybe I'm putting myself a little bit more in the 13-year-old girl's shoes here, and she handled that like a pro.
Well, she has practice. She's been interviewing. I mean, you go to her Instagram; it's like she's interviewing the biggest stars. She interviewed Kamala Harris. It's like Stephen Curry. Like she's interviewing like big stars. So I feel like she was very prepared for this. As crazy as that sounds.
I get
that
it
is something that I have not heard before someone say that as an answer.
The thing is though, is Kamala Harris and Steph Curry are going to understand like that the message is different to a 13-year-old than it is if you're sitting down doing, you know, some kind of in-depth podcast about the meaning of life. You know?
I think you may be taking this a little too seriously. Maybe like, yeah, no duh. Mike Tyson just cursed out a 13-year-old interview. Good. Nobody's saying they're saying this is an appropriate interview.
No, like, Sean is saying he's like, this is just Tyson.
Fun fact about Jazzy. Guess who our first interview was?
Mike Tyson.
Antonio Brown.
Get out of here.
According to Wikipedia.
She needs a better booking agent.
So that's what I'm saying. She had practice. She had Antonio Brown in 2019. That guy prepared for Mike Tyson in 2024.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we've got more, including the biggest thing we'll learn this weekend.